Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cancer Horizons podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what CURE does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. If there's one thing Marshall Morris wants to do before he dies, it's to live his life to the fullest. When Marshall was only 50 years old, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cholangiocarcinoma, a type of bile duct cancer. After being told he only had 6 months to live, Marshall remained optimistic and tried looking for support groups online. However, he felt like all the cancer groups he saw were too focused on death instead of life. Marshall wanted a community that reflected his beliefs of positivity and living life to the fullest. Since he couldn't find one like that, he decided to create one instead. Shortly after his diagnosis, he created Dying Defiantly, a charitable organization that provides people with terminal illnesses, counseling, community, and legal services. In today's episode of the Cancer Horizons podcast, Marshall explains how being on the medication Imfinzi has significantly reduced the size of his tumor and improved the quality of his life, the important role he believes his faith and mindset play in his experiences with cancer, how Dying Defiantly has helped people throughout the world, his plans for the organization's future, and more.
So, Marshall, could we start just a little bit? Could you tell me about the story of you being diagnosed? What was the incident that led up to your diagnosis?
So the incident that led up to my diagnosis was really, it was last summer, not this, you know, summer of 22, summer 21. I was June, starting to get some, I was working outside and, you know, just getting some things done in the yard. And that night I just had some itching, you know, how you get into some poison ivy or something like that. And I was like, oh, this is weird. I'm like, you know, I'll just kind of get some poison ivy stuff and I'll put it on it and see how it goes. Well, the itching just continued to get worse. And for that whole month of June, to the point where I was like, I couldn't sleep. It was just, if you can imagine the worst kind of itching, like you get from poison ivy, but underneath the skin. So I went into the doctor, and the doctor ran a few tests on me, and they said, hey, you know, your liver numbers are a little elevated, but, let's send you to a specialist. So they sent me a specialist. He's like, and I don't think he looked more than a minute. And he goes, well, 75% chance this is cancer, and I need to get you down to do an ERCP. And I was like, what? It's like, okay. So in June, they did the ERCP, came back to me, end of June, said, hey, it is currently, based on the scans and everything that they did, stage 4 cholangiocarcinoma. We think we can take it out, right? So they immediately thought, oh, we're going to take this out. Next 4 weeks, prepping for surgery, all this stuff. The day of surgery, doctor walks in, head down. I go, we're not doing the surgery, are we, doc? And they go, yeah, we misread everything. And I go, okay. I said, what's next? So then they thought they're going to fast track a liver transplant. And I said, okay. So they prepped that whole thing for a liver transplant. Later, they come back to me and said, hey, based on the Mayo Clinic, you no longer qualify for this because your tumor has expanded too far throughout your biliary tract. And I'm like, okay. So what's next? And then the next thing was, of course, chemo on the highest levels. And went down that whole path with the Topaz 1 clinical trials. And it seemed to have, it kind of helped slow down things, the progression of the cancer. They sat with me in the beginning of January and said, hey, maybe 6 months at best. So July 8th became my expiration date, so to speak. Yeah. And, since then I've been just, you know, continuing on with my therapy, with the immunotherapy, just doing Imfinzi by itself. Mm-hmm. Imfinzi. My cancer is wrapped around the portal vein, the only vein that feeds the liver. Because of that, it makes it unresectable, because it's, too great a chance of killing you, So to me, either cancer is going to kill you through the ways it normally does. It met someplace else. I've been in and out of the hospital with multiple liver infections because every 2 months they have to go in and put stents in my bile ducts to keep them open. it just is what it is. It's a new normal. It's my life, right? You know, you just keep plowing forward, doing the things you can. So that's why, you know, 8 days after all that happened, I decided to start Dying Defiantly and help others with terminal illnesses, just kind of keep be their light until they can be their own.
And I wanted to ask, now that you've been on Infinity for a while, is your prognosis improving at all?
January comes, they tell me, hey, based on the progression of everything, this is what it looks like. And it didn't look good. It had gone completely across my liver, completely. We did a combination of Infinity and radiation. And in April, they came back to me and said, hey, we no longer see it on your right side of the liver. Basically, the whole right side of the liver had completely cleared itself of any visible signs in the scan. Of course, the major tumor had they said they thought shrunken. All the lymph nodes that were infected outside of the liver had stabilized, yeah. Had shrunken a little bit and stabilized. So that was great news, right? So that's just, you know, is it going away? You know what? Slowly but surely, maybe. Is it ever going to go away? You know what? Who knows? But I can tell you this, I feel amazing. You know, I hear from people all the time, like, you don't even look sick. I'm like, well, you know, you don't judge a book by its cover, right? You know, but I don't allow it to be the defining factor for me either.
Let's talk a little bit about your blog and your group. What exactly is the goal of Dying Defiantly?
Dying Defiantly is there to be a support group, a community of people that believe in one another, right? They can be there to help one another. What I saw and what I see in so many of these support groups on Facebook is, you know, it's a place to go and oh, I'm dying, I'm this, you know. You see some motivational stuff once in a good news. Somebody has some good news and they're like, hey, I got great news. Most of it's, I lost my mom, I lost my dad, or I'm dying, or, you know, they're just constantly, I don't know, I think they get too focused on what's happening to them. They're too focused that they're dying, that they're not focusing on living, right? So I got to find a cure. So when they're doing that, when you start focusing so much on that, you lose sight of what's the most important thing, which is truly living every day to the fullest. And so that was my goal. Was it didn't matter if they had cancer, it didn't matter if they had Hutchinson's, Parkinson's, you know, whatever it was. I wanted, as long as they had a terminal illness, I wanted to be there for them. So we provide, you know, I guess it would be called end-of-life counseling, family counseling, bereavement counseling for survivors at no cost to any of the families. When I talk to them, I call it coaching, right? It's more of a life coaching thing because we're trying to show them that, hey, you can do more. What is your legacy? You know, what are you going to leave behind? An angry, bitter person sitting on the couch right now because your life's going away, or you lived every moment you could, the best that you could, with everyone that you loved. I just had a 48-year-old man, Jason, who wants me to call me at Infusion the other day, but he didn't want to talk to one of the counselors. He wanted to talk to me. And so he, you know, I've got a few people like that because I'm going through the same thing as they are. And he was going from that couch to the, you know, from the bed to the couch. I'm fatigued, giving up on really doing anything because he kept buying into, I can't do it. So I started talking to him. He goes, you sound so full of life. I'm like, what's the alternative? Be full of death? I'm like, come on, man. I'm like, so I started challenging to do things. And I was like, what do you like to do? He goes, I like to walk along the beach. I'm like, then go do that every day. In the last month, I've gotten messages from them, him, that it's been life-changing. And I'm like, brother, this is not life-changing for me. This is you. This is just reminding yourself that you don't have to lay down to this. Yeah, there's days when I don't want to get up. There's days that I feel like complete crap. I don't want to get out of bed. But you know what? I tell myself every day, you got to get up, you got to dress up, you got to show up, and you never give up, right? And if you do those four things every day, you're going to keep living and you're going to have a great life, no matter how long it is, right? When it's my time to go home, I'll go home, right? But until then, I'm going to live every day to the fullest. You know, I got a cruise plan for December. I've got a 2-year plan for the, you know, for the next 2 years on what we want to do with the charity and how we want to do that. We're right now working on the board of directors. So it actually has a way long after I'm gone here. My friends are all like, dude, you can't save the world. I'm like, no, but I can save as many people as I can, you know, just a positive attitude. I've looked at this cancer as a blessing to me. You know, it sounds weird to say that, but we always wonder what our impact was in this world. What I've got shown to me over this last year is that I touch people's lives in such a different way. I didn't realize I had. I mean, people have come out of the woodwork. Hey, I became a life coach because of you. I became this because of you. You did this for me. You've done this for me. I'm like, wow, I've got that chance to see that. I got the chance to see people that, you know, they come to you and tell you they love you. And hey, all my life, I admired you and I never had the chance to say it to you. And I keep hearing that. And I'm like, wow, what a blessing, right? Because so many of us will go through our life wondering, did we really help or did we make an impact on anybody that mattered? And I get a chance to see it. I get a chance to live it. Like I told everybody, I said, look, when things are getting towards the tail end of this thing, I said, we're probably going to do a celebration of life while I'm still here. You know, why, you know, I don't care about a funeral when I'm gone. You know, let's enjoy some time together, some words that we can share and remember forever, a smile, a hug. You know, that's more important. You know, you're going, you might as well spend it with the people you care about.
How does Dying Defiantly reach people exactly?
I'm always on, you know, as many support sites as I possibly can on the thing. People, outreaches, I do speaking, company speaking. So I, you know, a lot of times I'm begging people to bring people to me, right? And like, you know, we're here. Because people get scared. I think people are scared sometimes to press that connect button, right? You know, like just contact me, right? I promise you, I will answer. And so when they do, I just like, hey, what can we do for you? If it's just information, if they just want to know a little bit of something, you got to be careful, right? You know, and I constantly tell people, look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a counselor. I'm just a guy like you that's got cancer, going through the same stuff as you are. But I'm choosing to not let it affect me. I think, you know, people forget that we make a choice how we're going to let things affect us, either positively or negatively. It's our choice. And so I remind them it's a choice, right? And if you choose to be positive, no matter what it is, if you choose to find the positive in every bad situation, like there's a lesson to be learned, right? Hey, I wasn't thinking I was going to die. You know, I mean, heck, I'm 52. I was in great shape. I wasn't thinking, yeah, I'm gone soon. No, you know, and then all of a sudden you get this news and you're like, okay, well, I haven't had one sad day. Not one day when I'm like, oh, woe is me, right? I haven't. And I've been blessed that I haven't had that kind of days. And there are times when I'll tear up because I realize I'm not going to be around for my grandson, you know, to graduate from high school or college or any of that stuff. But I realized that, hey, I'll be here now. I'll leave what I can. I'll leave a legacy that he can be proud of, right? A legacy of healing and belief and never giving up, no matter what the fight is. So if you can instill that into a child long after you're gone, man, just it's an amazing thought. So that's what this is all about. So I use Facebook. I use a lot of the social media sites. Other charities that work mm-hmm. with that. So if somebody has like here in Indiana, we have the IndianaHealthFund.org, which helps people pay for their bills if they can't. So if they have somebody that needs help that has a terminal illness, they send them to me. And we have a team right now of 7 different counselors. I've got 2 attorneys that help me out because we'll help people with wills and trusts. If they're local, you know, here in Indiana. But I had somebody reach out to me from Ethiopia just the other day. It was about a month ago. It took me a little bit of time to find a translator, but we got a translator. We got two full sessions with that person. His sister reached out to me last week and he died. You know, she said he was smiling and he hadn't smiled in a year. And so she's asked me what she can do to help the charity. And I said, you know, send people, be a word, be, you know, just a beacon, right? To send people to us, because we're not heavily funded. I'm funding most of this myself, small, we get some donations, but every dollar helps us spend more to help others. And so, you know, that's the next goal of the next year, is to help look at funding this. I put some money into this, and I continue every month to put money into this. And when I pass, there'll be a nice little nest egg that comes back to the charity to you know, help make sure it continues forward. But 100% of all the money that comes in goes right back out to people with terminal illnesses. I want to do more. I find myself every day trolling through the support groups, and anytime I see somebody that's having a negative thought or being, you know, feeling sick or down, I reach out to them. I offer our services. You know, I'd say probably 20% of them really respond back in a manner that we can help them. The rest just kind of, you know, they're too caught up in their own darkness, you know?
It's got to take a lot of effort and a lot of willpower to not become caught in your own darkness, I would imagine.
It is. And it's, you know, it's so simple. I could have gone down that same path, right? And, you know, to me, I'm like, you know what? It is what it is. I'm not going to let this affect me. I'm not going to, you know, and what I ask everybody is this. I'm like, you know, I just had an event here in August, and I said, that night, I'm like, it was a charity event, but I gave gifts to everybody. And what I gave to everybody that walked in there that night was, we all talk about, hey, I'll do that when I get around to it, when I've got time, right? So I gave everybody around to it, right? And I challenged, you know, so, and I said, look, now you have around to it. There's no excuse. So if there's a relationship that's broken in your life, if there's something that you've been putting off because, you know, oh, I'll do this when I have more time, do it tonight. What if you don't wake up tomorrow? What if you don't have that? I mean, just think of this. People go to bed tonight and they just won't wake up. Something happens. They have an aneurysm. Something happens for whatever reason. They don't wake up. They get in a car wreck. I mean, we see it all the time, but we take for granted what we have, this wonderful life in front of us.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcast. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and
find us on Twitter @cure_today, Facebook @Cure Magazine, or Instagram @curetoday.